Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Hello, welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. I don't know what episode number this is. Roomaj is not with us, I'm sorry to say. He's got other things going on. Apparently he wants to sort of pay the mortgage or whatever, so he's doing paid work. Apparently this ain't good enough for him. So I'm sorry, just going to have to deal with me. But it doesn't matter, because we've got an amazing guest for you today. It's exciting. It's exciting, isn't it, Mike?
Well excited.
We have got Mike Key, a.k.a. Miguel Montavani. Have I got that right?
Correct.
From the Cuban Brothers. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello, sir. Well, I'm really well, thank you.
Life treating you well?
Really well.
What are you up to at the moment? I've just struggled to get into the toilet before
I had a wee bit
That's what you're immediately up to.
That's immediately what happened. No, I'm just back from... we're out in Sri Lanka.
Yes.
So we had a lovely time. We were on a family holiday out there for 3 weeks. And the Maldives, so I had a couple of gigs in the Maldives. So we did, we've just been out there. So I'm literally back yesterday, so I've got a touch of the
mad. Yeah, you do
the
look mad, good.
Blessings.
You look great, man.
That's what I'm talking about. Sweet sailor boy. so that's it, really. And yeah. I haven't worked for about 3 weeks, which is unusual for me. So I feel rested and I'm just glad to be here.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on. I want to sort of try and figure out a way of explaining what it is you do. You know, it's the Cuban Brothers. Now, it's sort of, you're sort of like a, like an entertainment project almost. Not project, project's the wrong one, but it's sort of like, you do music, right? It's just sort of like hip-hop influence kind of... salsa-y kind of dancey kind of party stuff, right?
Yeah.
Have I got that?
Pretty much. I mean, it's like, it's really hard to explain.
I know.
Because cats have actually, we've sort of bubbled under for a long time, have a wee bit of a cult following. But it's like people are trying to explain it. It sounds retarded. It really does. Yes, that's this geezer, right? So he's dressed up as a Cuban fella, calls himself Miguel. So he's got the thing on. Yeah, he's got the old, the tit for and the old three-piece. So anyway... when he's spitting, it's in a American sort of New York kind of accent.
Yeah.
Right, he's got these two guys with him, dancers, so they're rooted. It just sounds, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
So, like what you were saying, it's an entertainment proposition, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a show, it was a way for me, being a fan of hip-hop, being super into hip-hop, being into black music generally, from being a kid, it was a way for me to sort of... exercise my spurious talents, if you like. I was a b-boy first. I started dancing when I was about 7. As soon as I saw Beat Street, and as soon as and as soon as I heard "Ain't No Stopping Us, No Stopping, No One Does It Better," you know what I mean?
Yeah,
which is like quite a whack intro.
Yeah.
But everybody's
intro is whack, right? You can be as cred as you want later on, but everybody's intro to it is pretty shit, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
You know, seeing that imagery from, Beat Street and breakdancing movie, that started me, b-boying and stuff like that. And then at the school discos, they would play The Message. And so that was going back a couple of years. But the cat was playing that, and so I was like that. Wow, like this is,
Have you watched the Evolution of Hip Hop documentaries on Netflix?
Yes, I've seen bits of it. I haven't watched the whole thing.
Right. So they talk about The Message, and it's so mad. Like, sort of now you think about it, politicized hip hop or whatever.
Yeah.
When you that track, nothing like that had come. Like nobody talked about those kind of things before that song came out.
No,
literally the first.
Absolutely, it was literally the first of its kind. And an amazing record. And the other one that was Furious Five thing as well. And I remember from the school discos that had me, just giving it for those who can't see, I'm doing a really shit poppy move with my shoulders.
It's fucking brilliant, by the way. You can't see it, but it's wicked, mate.
But it was, you know, White Lines, you know. I remember that bass line. Boom, 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 bass. Doom, doom, doom. I was just like that, you know.
Vision, dreams of passion. And all the while, I think of you. A very strange reaction. More I do.
And that, for me, as an 8-year-old at the school disco, I was just like that. You know, that was to me, that was sort of like, oh my God.
Were you busting proper moves at 8 years old?
I was, because I my dad's a publican.
Right.
And we lived in a hotel in a mining town called Trenent outside of Edinburgh. And my dad managed the hotel. So he didn't own it. He managed it for tenants. So we had a place called a ballroom, which was like basically where they have functions and weddings and stuff. Yeah. So I had the big polished floor.
Right.
So as soon as that came, I practiced like a mother
fushnicker.
Like, I was just like down there, my little brother, and we had a little wire haired dash hound called Tootsie, and I used to slide this little bastard across the floor as well. And that was my crew, the Keatsy crew. It was me, my brother Gaz, and this little dog. And we used to practice like, and so, you know, I wasn't like crazy good, but I was so into it, you know. And so my mates would come up who lived down in the estate down the road, and so we had like, you know, half a dozen just going off in the ballroom all day.
So did you throw down at the school discos then?
Yeah.
And then what was when you like, were people thinking fucking Mike's got into some weird shit, or was it big like in...
it was big because people were aware of it. And so as far as we were concerned, I was like, you know, it was the shit catchers and the, you know, I mean, my mum, we couldn't afford the proper, you know, I think at the time it was maybe ponies something like that. So I was throwing down I was eight, it was an Asda trainer, which I was shamed about even at eight.
Yeah.
But we were getting down we were quite popular because we were just sort of but I couldn't at the time, I really couldn't decide because all my mates, big brothers who we looked up to, they were into Maiden, AC/DC, Queensryche, you know what I mean, like Ronnie James Dio. And so at one point I actually remember I had a denim cut off with studs on the back and the you know, the sort of Hell's Bells patch and all that. But then I'd get doom 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 doom. So I went from headbanging literally to sort of popping out.
That's mad.
So I was a wee bit mixed up at that time. But we're talking about 1983-84. And so but then it was you know, that I guess that was me at the hip hop from there, really.
And so did you start just listening, were you listening to it non-stop then? And what sort of stuff
pretty much I mean, I was feeling the Def Jam stuff, so you know, I wasn't particularly bothered about License to Ill because a lot of people jumped on that, and I didn't really dig the sort of rock rap crossover. It's too much. But I was into Public Enemy hugely, and so during that time it was Cool J, Public Enemy, Run DMC, you know that. I mean, Tougher Than Leather. I mean, just next level. I mean, and then by the time you know, It Takes a Nation and Millions to Hold Us Back came around, I mean, this is quite a wee bit on, but that was me fully fledged sort of little white b-boy who's like, you know, I couldn't leave it alone. It's like I learned every lyric, and I was still, although b-boying had become unfashionable in our crew, we were still getting
it. Become unfashionable? Is it
breakdancing sort of became, it was, you know, like a sort of fashion zeitgeist, really,
right,
from about in the UK, from about 82 until, and people started falling off about 85. People were just like that.
So 3 years in the sun, basically.
Exactly, it? But we never stopped, and so I wasn't going as hard. But that was kind of like I was still into it. And you know, during that time, that was me at 15 years old, where I was a fully fledged little b-boy, and then, you know, we went through to Barrowlands to see Public Enemy and Third Bass on that Def Jam tour.
And
I fell in love with that, you know, the Cactus album.
Ready in the intro, cue up the searchlight, promise to the center stage. I grant a first mic. Projecting the voice with this mic that I'm cuffing. You ain't my knuckle, sucker, I'm snuffing. The word of the third stands true, so no panicking. Man versus man. You freeze up like a mannequin. Petrol, you let go the wax for the new jacks. The dweller point is stepping on the trigger as the tune smash. Did they hate each other?
Apparently, they did,
I read this thing that they... They had to be interviewed in different rooms and shit.
Apparently, that like after a year of touring,
yeah,
you know, Search and Pete Nice, who I just thought was dope. I just thought, yeah, you know, like, you know, the illest.
It was so weird, wasn't it? Because Search was like, he was the one that sort of like, he did more stuff, didn't he? Because obviously he went off and did his own thing. But if
back to the Gorilla Games.
Yeah, I mean, back to the Gorilla Games. Oh my god,
that is the tune. That's still one of the
Chubb Rocks verse.
He kills
on that.
It.
Oh my god, fucking sick.
It's insane, isn't it? It really is insane.
Oh my god. The Chubb breaks it out. He thinks then he reaches the penny, mix the verse, fix the Search, kick him in the Gorilla Games part two. Sequel of the dialect, the derelict, the murder, licks vanilla, kick to the climb on the piece of fiction. Coming around the mountain when it comes to silver wrecking bumps. Digest the lyrics, then you suck on some crumbs. Crumbs with the energy from the lump suns. The lips you do, the mixture to the friction in your hands. Chubb Rock, Most people don't sort of, not that they don't rate him, nobody's heard of him, do you know what I mean? Like, they don't name him as one of them. But I remember when I first heard Back to the Grill Again, and he just...
That was the verse. He just kills it, like...
My God. So, yeah, and then... So you would have thought that... MC Search had this sort of nerdy look about him, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, and that was kind of... I think I was drawn to that, because I was like, you know, we were sort of, I think, a lot of cats who were into indie music and everything at our school.
Yeah.
We were seen as wiggers, you know, in this time, 87, 88, and all that. Because I, you know, I got really down with the Native Tongues movement. So it was just after that. So, you know, so I was there, Africa signed up. You know, I was a Zulu Nation member, as far as I was concerned. You know, I was, you know, right fist raised. And I was just like that. Yeah. And, you know, even down to, like, Kente print suits.
Are you serious?
It's always been about the look for me as well. Yeah. I mean, I was... flamboyant little,
because you're flamboyant now, you got the little touch,
but I was like, I was next level. I mean I looked like a dickhead. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I had long hair, mum's a hairdresser, yeah. And I even had like little braids.
Oh right, yeah.
I'm 14 year old white kid with braids.
The thing is about that, right, because obviously I'm not black, so I had the same thing where I'd like I'd rock the stuff and all this thing. And that, it's all right when you're with your mates who are all into hip hop, but then you have to go down the shop. Do you know what I mean? And like, and then people are just like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man?
Exactly. So that was the vibe, you know, for me. And really, that was, and it was that Native Tongues movement that really had me sort of.
Have you got a favourite group from Native Tongues?
I mean, I think it's, obviously it's De La Soul and Tribe. I mean, that was really, you know. De La Soul, because of the, I mean, obviously when 3 Feet High and Rising came out, it sort of changed everything, and it was such a brilliant record.
I thought it was so mad that they came out with 3 Feet High and Rising, and then, do you remember when De La Soul Is Dead came out? Mm. Everybody shit on that album when it first came out.
I know, and it's a brilliant album.
I know, it's amazing. Like, Balloony Mind State, the next one, I would take or leave really, but that. Mm. That De La Soul Is Dead, I remember like everyone going, oh, fucking De La Soul are done. Like, I mean, they are dead. Do you know what I mean? That is it. It's like, and then like now you sort of listen, it's wicked. Such a good album.
I like Balloony Mind Split State as well. I mean, I'm a bit of a fanboy,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I've had a chance to support them half a dozen times now.
Yeah.
So I've been really, you know, that whole thing of being able to.
How did that come about, you supporting them?
Just because we were. One of them was at the first one we did was Hong Kong,
right?
And so they were booked, and then so the cat who was the promoter had booked us before in Hong Kong, and so got involved. But then the first time was actually at Snowbombing in Meyerhofen, which is that sort of snowboard festival, and so we got the support there, and so we did the show, and then I put them on, but I put them on in such a way, like the proper, like next level, you know.
Yeah.
Maceo was there. They were just like that. We gotta bring you on the rest of the tour to put us on in that manner, you know.
Really?
Because
usually
when they come on, Mace just comes on and just cuts a little bit, and then does, you know, really get them out. But I went full retard on the next level sort of, you know, world heavyweight champion sort of 2 minutes intro of the. You know, and so on the strength of that, we became mates, and then best of all, you've done about half a dozen shows across the world, and I was always a little bit, you know, when you meet your heroes and stuff,
that old
chestnut, and so I'm always a little bit standoffish, you know. I'm happy to get a pound and a hug,
but
I've shared a drink with them and stuff like that, and had a bit of banter, but I don't want to, do you know what I mean? I don't want to. not that they would, but I don't want to give any of my heroes a chance to be a dickhead.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so I'm
yeah,
like that.
Mean, yeah.
I'll do 10 minutes. Love you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Share a blunt and then we're cheerio.
Yeah, yeah. And there's always a thing when you meet someone you really respect, because I've had it in sort of like music and in comedy.
Yep.
Where like you think, I really do need to minimise my contact time because the chance that I'll make a twat of myself is high. And it gets higher the longer I'm in the same room as this person. Do you know what I mean? So you're sort of like, anyway, cool, man, really like the... Okay, sweet. Because I'll start nerding out, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I,
yeah.
But I imagine if I'd like, spent any time with De La Soul, just like, you know, and for stakes it's high to drop at the time that it did, man. Do you know what I mean? Like, just, and then just have them go, look, I mean, we've heard this so much, mate. I just kind of like...
That's the kind of the truth. And because I'm a, like, you know, working in the environment, but I'm not an average sort of hip-hop cat,
yeah,
if you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and so, you know, I'm a little bit fruity and I come from a sort of more of a comedy thing. I did characters.
Yeah. And you've been in films and stuff, right? And you do acting and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think that, you know, I've had, you know, sideways looks from a few cats over the years that we've met. Like, first time I interviewed Grandmaster Flash,
yeah,
you know, I mean... He's not the most charismatic of men, to be honest.
Mean, my God. On that evolution of hip-hop thing. Like,
dude,
he was talking...
Like,
there's a bit where he's going on about... he was going, how did you get into DJing? He goes, you know, I became fascinated by spinning things. I would watch the washing machine and I would watch... the turntable, and I think I like things that rotate. And just thinking, fuck it, oh, mate.
Wait.
It's just the best bit of the interview.
My God. Honestly, he's like, and he's, yeah, I don't want to disrespect any
listen,
of the
he's
gods.
A legend, don't get wrong.
But, you know, the first time we did this event called Homelands, about 2000.
Yeah.
And so we were on the bill as well, and I was doing some stuff for MTV.
Yeah.
So we interviewed him, and I did this stuff, you know. Okay, so, you know, we're talking about people being involved in, you know, the birth of hip-hop and stuff like this. And is it true, Senor Plash, that you invented the first turntables using two shoeboxes and elastic bands and some hairpins from your mom, and you made them from underneath the bed? And he's just looking at me like properly, like,
yeah,
you know, screw face.
Yeah.
And I'm just like that. Okay. And he's just like, you know, I was like, oh my. And he's, you know, you think he thought I was a prick,
yeah,
like
yeah,
hardcore. And then at the end of the interview, we did a little throwdown, and he was like, all right, you seem to get the fact that it wasn't taking the piss out of the culture.
Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to subvert it a little
bit. Yeah.
Like, it's just a wee bit. And he got the thing, but you know,
yeah.
Just kind of like that, you know.
Well,
the fact that I'm in my jocks sometimes, I think that really.
Oh yeah, I mean some of the shit you wear, like when you're first been introduced to hip hop artists, I can't imagine it goes down great.
But you know, the actual cats that really matter. We did a show with Public Enemy at Falls Festival,
yeah,
and we were doing a routine. Like a Rick James thing, and we do like a locking routine to it. And I came off to change my kicks because after the throwdown, and Chuck D was in the wings, and they'd been on before us, believe it or not. It was part of a festival lineup, so
yeah.
Public Enemy weren't warming up for the Keeper Brothers. Let's get that straight. And he was there, and he was in bits, and I wasn't expecting this because
yeah,
he was in bits, like pissing himself, and he was just like that, and he grabbed me on the shoulders and put my kicks on, and then he's just like that. Y'all cats, that's some funny shit. He says, and he says, is that words? Y'all niggas always going to work. And I said, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And he says, because it's entertainment. He says,
yeah.
Y'all cats are entertaining. You know what? No matter what happens, people are going to want to be entertained. Obviously, this is not his voice.
No. Yeah, it's
but,
good.
You know,
no, it's good. It's good. It's good, Chuck Day.
I bounded back on a stage like 1,000
oh,
men.
Oh, mate. I mean, you've just had the bloody
you know
thumbs
I mean?
Up from...
Just had the thumbs up. And so that,
from the man.
Exactly.
But I think that's the thing about you is that the reason that I think that people sometimes get worried is that there's most of the time when hip hop gets subverted in that way, it's by people that are sort of outside of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you get this sort of like people have an idea of what hip hop is. That's a snapshot, and then you'll get people sort of taking the piss, and then you don't feel like they're from within the city. And so it feels like some people outside are laughing, whereas you know your shit. You've paid your dues or whatever. You know the music. And so you're sort of subverting it in a respectful way. Do you know what I mean? I think
that's different, isn't it? Yeah, I hope so. I mean,
that's what
I hope is the vibe, because it was, you know, when I started doing it, it was, you know, I was a DJ from being a dancer and a DJ, and so I was into the whole thing, but I was looking at a way for me to be able to perform and sort of, as I say, like, you know, use the fact that you know, I was into doing characters and trying to, you know, build up a comedy persona, if you like.
Yeah.
But I was playing percussion as well. So when I first started, it was literally, you know, I'd DJ and play, I'd have congas, play the congas, you know, over the tracks.
Yeah.
And then I would spit over the instrumental bits.
Yeah.
And then tell stories. Like, I just, you know, back down, I have a bed, so I just whack down and whack the mic up and just tell stories, and that was how it came about, you know. And that was you know, in a little jazz cellar bar 17 years ago, and it's 18 years ago, 1998. So it was always like, you know, it was always tried to be respectfully, you know. Yeah. it wasn't like a
how the because I think it's fair to say that nobody does what you do. I've never seen anything like it. How the hell did it... Like, you've made a living from something that's so bonkers. Do you know what I mean? Like, how did it sort of come about? Did you suddenly... Were you just pissing about and then you suddenly realised there was an appetite for it over?
I think it was like... something like that, yeah. It was like... yeah, I started... I lived... I came back from New Zealand. I grew up in New Zealand from 15 to 18.
Yeah.
And I came back because it was... I was thinking, you know, man, it's sort of... It was the like rave culture, whatever you want to call it. That was how I wanted to be a DJ. I'd been a DJ and I'd ran a couple of things in Wellington and been involved in that thing. I wanted to come back to the UK, and I got back and I was like that to Edinburgh, and I was like, this is shit. And so I moved to Palma in Mallorca.
Yeah.
So I was 18 and a half, and I moved to Palma, and I was working in Magaluf as a DJ in BCM. And a place called La Luna, and I'm going across to Ibiza on the ferry. I had mates across there, a little bit of Naughty and a little bit of How's Your Father? So we had a bit of that. And so I ended up out there for two seasons, and then when I came back, while I was away, all my Spanish mates wanted to try and speak English.
Yeah? Right.
And I obviously I was trying to speak Spanish, but yeah. No, English, okay. So they're talking like this. And so I basically, the character came from a guy... The character came from an actual guy. I lived in a hotel.
Yeah.
And there was a dude who was... He was called the animator. He was the hotel animator.
Right.
And he was this dude in there, but I would say he was about his mid-50s. Little guy, about 5'2". And he had the massive cock duster tash.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know if it was Pedro. It was something like Pedro or something like that. And he was amazing.
God,
and
he's ticking all the boxes, this bloke.
Mate, I fell in love with him. And because he was always working, you know, he was always there. He was out playing, you know, Skittles with the kids. So he was the hotel animator. And one night, I was going out to DJ and I had a record box with me. It would have been 1993. And this guy was down and he's got the kids and some of the older kids around. And it must have been... And he said, "Okay, kids, this next one is one of my favourites. I'm really one of your favourites. Let's go Wakefield Saturday night." And he had a console and he had to run. So he presented the tune out here. Yeah. So he had to run right round the thing to the console. So it took him 15 seconds to say that and then get back right. And I was just in bits like that of the substandardness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what a lovely guy this cat was, you know. And it's straight in. He's doing all the moves. Ding, 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 ding.
There's nothing better than sort of shit earnestness, is it? Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean? Exactly. And I honestly believe that was the impetus for Miguel.
Right.
For this, I don't want to talk about myself in third person because that really is wanky. For the character Miguelito, that is basically me.
From now on, for listeners, whenever Mike refers to Miguel, he is talking about the character.
Yeah, oh my God.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And so then what happened? Then you had this act, right? And then you started...
Yeah, then I came back to Edinburgh after doing that. And I started DJing out again in places. And I started doing the act with a DJ.
And then how does the rapping fit in with that? So how did
Originally, I would spit over the breaks.
Right.
And because I sung as well, I was in bands in New Zealand and stuff. And so it was just... I would just, you know, throw something out. And then I would, you know, sometimes I'd use like a little bit like a hip hop karaoke, if you like. I would do my version, you know, change the lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, switch the lyrics. I would do my version over an instrumental, and people dug it. And I think it was the fact that at the time it was the sort of Edinburgh nightlife cats would all come to this night on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And because I'd been involved in the scene and everyone was like that, it was something different. And it was just something a wee bit different and irreverent, and everyone would get a name check, and I'd do, you know, I'd take the piss out of people properly,
yeah,
but in a warm way.
Yeah.
So they get a little bit, but the joke was always on me, do you know what I mean? It was never mean-spirited.
Yeah.
So it just, and then, you know, literally from doing that for the, you know, in a sort of a kind of a jazz cellar bar environment, we started getting booked at clubs, and then, you know, within 6 months I was at a residency in Amsterdam at the Matzo. And then, so it was quite meteoric. And then that was the first year.
Must have just been thinking, I can't believe.
Well, I was just chuffed.
And then you get like, I mean, I've read stories like, you know, you get booked. Did you like, is it true that you got booked to do something for Elton John or something?
Yeah, we did the, down at his place in the south of France.
So how the hell how did that come about?
I don't know. I think it was just through, because we did a few showbiz parties.
Yeah.
And then that, you know, I think there was that kind of thing where.
Do you shit yourself when you're doing those, or is it?
No, because my whole ethos was, mate, this is a party. You're doing the party. That's all it is. So there's no point in getting caught up in anything else. Go have fun, create that buzz, that vibe, and then everyone will, you know. But you're never going to please all people all the time, and you don't want to. If you're doing that, then it's a bit fucking.
Yeah.
I've always danced a thin line. You've got to dip your fucking toes over, and sometimes people have been offended. But you know, like
this is speaking of offended. The I've read this thing about the. The chief distiller at Jack Daniels, is this a true thing?
Oh my God, that's true.
What happened
with
that? So this is a party in his honour, right? How old is this guy?
Yeah, this guy was, he would have been about his mid-80s.
Right, okay. So they've... so what happened?
This is some next level shit. This is the worst. This is the worst thing that's ever happened. Like, honestly, I've never.
This is great. I'm so glad I got this.
This is so wrong. This is a southern gentleman, you know.
Yeah.
A southern gentleman. Yeah. So, you know, he's from Alabama or from from Tennessee. He's the master distiller for Jack, and so it's a corporate do, kind of in his honor. He's the guest of honor.
Yeah. And Jack Daniels have booked you, have they?
Yeah. So it's in it's in the Savoy or something like that. And so we're in there, and you know, there's, you know, the show sometimes can be quite camp.
Yeah. I've got that. Yeah, yeah.
The character Miguelito, the character I play, Miguelito, he's not shy, and he really, regardless of gender, he just wants to fuck people. That's kind of the whole vibe, you know. Miguel's just—he's a randy man.
Yeah,
he's like a dog with three cocks.
When you say that, you think he wants to fuck everything.
Yeah.
It's not. It's sort of warm. It's a warm fucking, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's a really nice, loving fucking, isn't it?
It's a gentle thing. You know, we're maybe not staring into each other's eyes, but it's a proper cradling.
Yeah.
There's a cradle
and you'll
afterwards.
Keep in touch afterwards.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's nice.
So during this show, anyway, we didn't get him out, obviously, but we've pulled a gentleman out from the audience, and I can't remember what number we were doing, but we did something that was kind of a little bit of a sort of a striptease thing where he's in the thing and he's in the middle of the floor in a chair. And so I'm dancing around him, I'm easing myself gently onto his lap.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a little bit of a lap dance, but not a proper lap dance kind of thing. But I think at one point, the guy was bald, yeah?
Yeah.
Supper, and I licked his head.
Right.
Like, you know.
Made you think, like, what sort of... Obviously, you've done it for a long time, so your instincts are pretty sharp.
Yeah.
What led you to believe to think that would be...
Everyone was having it.
Right.
So people knew that this cat was, like, I think he's one of the, you know, the main dudes from the drinks industry, yeah? So I've got him out, and everyone's like that, yeah? Woo-hoo-hoo! What about this, lads? Go on! Dickheads! You know, like, proper on that one.
Yeah.
So we've done the thing, and he's back in his chair.
Yeah. How was he when he moved his head?
Oh, he was cool in the gang.
Yeah, loving it.
He was loving it, fine. And then, literally, we started the next number, and after the next... And people are out dancing now.
Yeah.
But after the next number... The artist liaison had come to the side of the stage, so just, you know, I went across and they just went like that, pull the show. It's got to finish. And she's crying, and I'm like that, and I was like that. Whoa, what, you know, what's happened? And she just like that. our guest, such and such, has stormed out in fury at the homoeroticism that you're putting
across.
Did she
say that?
Yeah, yeah. And she was mortified that she's having to pull the show. So she's upset.
Now, so she's not in agreement with him. She's upset that she's got to pass this ridiculous message.
Exactly. So I felt awful, though. Yeah. That she's in tears. I'm like, that, Jesus Christ, have I got it so wrong? I didn't realise that this cat... But then when I thought about it...
Do you think it sort of turned him on a bit and it frightened him?
Do you know what? I wouldn't...
Was he bald?
He was a bold gentleman.
I mean, mate. Maybe it's all adding up, isn't it? This is like.
So that's the only time. That's the only time we've been pulled ever. So I just left the building like that. How about get fucked?
Did the rest of the party know that this guy had stormed out and it had, like?
No, I don't think so. It wasn't. I think people around the.
Around the, where it happened.
Yes, where he was. Were aware that he was. He,
so, for as far as they're concerned, you just finished. But that must have been bad, because you must have gone, people going, nah, man, where are you going? Like,
I wasn't aware of them, you know, anyone beseeching us to return. Please, make it later. Come on already, I'm waiting for my head to be fucking licked here already. What's wrong with you? But that's the only time it's ever happened, you know, and I guess that, you know, I think in some ways I'm, you know, less outrageous now, because I've got three daughters and stuff, right?
Right.
You know, I used to finish up shows breakdancing naked. That was no problem at all. You know, naked windmills, head spins.
Are there any moves that are off limits? You can't do the caterpillar, can you?
Yeah. No, I mean, I've got, like, I had abrasions on my... I got abrasions on my Johnson, as that man might have said.
Yeah.
No, I had everything. I had because I used to do body slides, so I've got like an 8-inch laceration in my arse cheek from doing like a body slide on a shard of glass.
Shit.
So literally, blood is like. I mean, that's not a good look.
No.
There's blood everywhere.
Deeply unpleasant.
Yeah, people are like that. really, can you just fuck off? Yeah, it was fun. Until you burst your ass, do you know what I mean? And so I had to go away and get stitches. And you know, there's been some great. We did the Gumball Rally.
Yeah, did you do this with Ice-T? Is that right?
We did it. We did one with Ice. Yep, that was the Bull Run. We did.
Right.
And so Ice became a fan. That was something I was really chuffed.
So how
about.
Did this happen then, Ice-T? Because he strikes me as not being a fan of much. What I mean is, he's hard to please guy, right? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you know what, though? He was really cool on the thing. He was really cool. It was the Bull Run Rally.
Yeah.
And he was... Because he was a dancer. And I didn't know that he was...
Ice-T was a dancer.
He was a dancer. Before he was an MC, this is what he was telling us.
Yeah.
That, you know, so all the pop locking stuff, you know, that was like... a lot of that was more of a West Coast thing. And so he was like... he was telling us that he was down with that. And so when he saw us doing the routines... And we did like two shows initially at the top of the rally in Miami, and then and so he was like totally cool and like, oh man, and so he was asking us, did we have representation in America?
Holy shit.
He was offering to manage it or to look after us out there, and I was like, dude, literally I was like, that fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Is there a possibility, you know, can we fucking follow this up?
Yeah.
To get Ice to look after us out here?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. He was really into it. And so that, again, was another one of me being, you know, entirely chuffed with the way things were panning out. But yeah, he was cool. Like, he wasn't, you know...
He strikes me as massively intimidating. Was he not terrifying?
Nah, he was the opposite. I think that since he's been in that, you know, he's been in
the
that
reality
drama.
Show.
Yeah, and the drama.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
Yeah, I can't remember.
Law and Order?
Yeah, that's it, Law and Order.
Law
and
Order. I mean, he's been in that for 15 years.
That's true,
so
man.
I think that he, like, oh, you know, that hardcore shit of, you know, I was well into Power. That was like a brilliant... But I think all that, you know, all that stuff is like, you know, he's now, you know, far, far from a fucking Uncle Tom. Don't get me wrong.
No, yeah.
But he, you know, he's a guy in his 50s who's been, you know... successful in like three different aspects of entertainment.
Yeah.
And so he's like cool in the gang. He's like, you know, fucking happy to talk, happy to, as long as you're not a fucking, you know, a Nimrod.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're a Nimrod, then I think he'll shut you down. But no, he was really, 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 really nice. And really, again, I was really surprised to get respect of someone like that, just saying, man, you, y'all cats can dance. And he was the, you know, I got him up to do a verse in one of the, because, you know.
What was he like? Was he spit off the top?
Yeah, off the top of the heads, yeah. I don't know, I can't.
No, yeah, we don't know, definitely it was. Yeah, it was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
And everyone went off. Like, yeah. Everyone was just like that. Oh!
Except for one guy going, I think that was actually originally on track 7 on Freedom of Speech, actually. It's sort of one of the off-cut versions.
That's it.
So, do you still listen to hip-hop now?
I do, yeah.
What sort of stuff are you into at the moment?
Well, I've just been... I still fiend on Little Brother. I'm still... Oh, I mean, mate. Man, I'm just, like, crazy. Find Sigalo for Dolo. Smile for the camera, nigga. Pose for the photo. Pause for the promo. Cause failure's a no-no. Back on my fly shit. So green with envy. Kiss me, I'm Irish. Niggas be asking me who we got to ride with. They saying come back, Tay, we been craving. We need LB to come and save the rap game. But truthfully, I don't think the shit needs saving. I mean, I know they're disbanded.
Yeah.
But I'm still feeling Fonte so hard.
Yeah.
As an MC, and you know, the new Chance the Rapper,
that's a
great record for the past year.
Yeah,
I'm still fiending on the Roots. I mean, but when you're talking about contemporary stuff, I'm not really up to speed.
Yeah, yeah. But you're not into trap and all that kind of.
I'm not into any murmur fucking. Do you know what I don't want to define myself by what I don't dig, but I hate the ticka 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 drum. I just can't fucking.
Yeah.
I'm into soul music.
Yeah.
So my hip hop, if it's not soulful, then I can't dig it. So it's I'm not into fucking, you know, really sparse. You know, honestly, mate, it's like someone pouring sulfuric acid in my lungs.
It's mad, like, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's mad. I don't think you can.
But I don't want to be a hater either.
No. I mean, I think, you know, sort of little brother, like a few years ago, I think, like, because you talk about the Roots and people like that, you know, Black Thought's obviously an incredible MC, right?
He's kind of my favourite.
Yeah, same. I mean, there is a YouTube video of Black Thought. And by the way, we haven't talked about the Roots enough on this podcast. They are amazing.
They're amazing, man.
Like, Phrenology.
That is a next level album. Things Fall Apart.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Just so good. And there's a YouTube video of Black Thought. He's out. Side in a park or something with Questlove.
Yeah.
And he's freestyling.
He's freestyling.
And then Questlove starts pointing at stuff.
And he just goes for it.
Yeah.
It's
and
amazing,
he starts incorporating. It's mad.
Green, don't stop. Green is what I mean. I'm on the scene. Yo, I am the true gangster lean. Pink, pink, pink. I think I got stuff. Go to the sink to wash my hands in. Then I put my mans in.
Blue.
Blue, blue. Who the hell are you? I am the one that's from the Roots crew. And I'm telling you to rebel.
Steve,
yes, you know he's going to leave after he busts straight on pieces in a
peach.
That blew my mind when I first saw it, and they're literally like 18 then, like, because Black Thought's always looked like he's 42, you know what I mean? He's got that heavy, you know, that heavy thing. But that was like early, that was like Illadelf, Half-Life, that's like, you know, it's 92 shit. They'll be 18, and it's brilliant.
And
he's, you know, I know you. I've heard you talk about cats who have got better as MCs.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember, you know, Pharaoh Monch is one of my favourites.
Yeah.
He's got better. But Thought has definitely got.
Yeah.
He's just off. He's ill. Like,
yeah.
I don't
understand it because every time people talk about Black Thought, I don't know if it's because he's part of a band that he doesn't get. It doesn't get brought up enough, like when people are listing their favourite ever MCs, because he could. It's just insane. There is one song. I can't remember which album it is on, but where he does three verses: one as himself, one as Big Daddy Kane, and one as Cool G Rap.
Cool G Rap. Yeah.
It's just. And he I know the joint you're on about. Kills it.
Yeah.
It's just that. Like, I mean, like, it's amazing. And their latest stuff, like, is a. The latest stuff is sort of like, it's been a real like directional change. Like, it's kind of like really down tempo and kind of somber stuff, isn't it? But
I didn't really.
It's not as I mean, I think after Phrenology. Well, no, I mean they're still. They've done a lot of great albums. I just haven't enjoyed their last couple.
I wasn't a fan. Just to be honest as well. I had listened to it and I was like that. The tipping point.
Yeah.
Off the scale.
Yeah.
But Things Fall Apart for me is just oh my God. But Phrenology is a brilliant record,
but
Little Brother, I was really bummed out when that, you know, when they decided to, you know, because and I followed Fontigga into his singing stuff as well, you know, with the the foreign exchange and all that.
Yeah.
Because I'm a singer as well. So,
yeah.
And I think he's brilliant, man. And
have you heard? Because I know you said you haven't been up on the new stuff, but do you know Childish Gambino?
Yeah.
So he's done a funk album.
Right? I know, it's brilliant.
Oh my god,
it's good, isn't it?
It's so good.
Yeah.
Right.
I was really surprised.
Yeah, I was surprised as well because. I'll be honest with you, part of me wanted this to be shit because I just thought, how talented can this guy be? Like, how many different things is this guy able to do? Yeah. But like, I listened to it and just thought, it absolutely smashes it, man.
And it's kind of like, it's like new school soul shit.
Yeah,
it really is.
That is what it's like.
I was like, fucking hell, this is a brilliant fucking soulful record. And I wasn't expecting it at all.
I know, like if somebody had told me that was D'Angelo's new album, I'd be delighted. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's that good. It's so fucking good, man. So, we've sort of hit on this. Is there stuff about hip-hop that you're not as keen on? Like, I know you sort of said you don't like the sort of tiki-taka sort of...
Yeah, the sort of tiki-taka draw. It just turned me off. No, I mean, I was at a show, like, I live in Whitstable now, yeah? And
yeah.
So we've had...
What's Whitstable saying?
Whitstable saying fairly Brexity. it's all right, though. It's a nice place. You know, it's seaside, oysters. It's cool, actually. And there's a gaff down there called The Duke. And it's been bringing, like, we've had... Charlie Tuna, Talib Kweli, like just before Christmas.
Are you shitting me?
No, it's a 150 capacity. It's a boozer.
Yeah.
But now that anyone who's coming through, Rakim's coming shortly.
Get honestly, the fuck
can't
out
believe
my
it.
Face.
Pharoah Monch was there.
Pharoah Monch played in the Duke in Whitstable.
It's turned into a destination venue, and Talib was there just before Christmas.
What was his show like?
It was good.
Yeah,
we played with him as well. Right. So I've met him before. Like we did quite a few shows with him, and so you know,
he seems like quite a serious dude.
He's quite a serious cat.
Yeah,
but he's not. But he said during the top of the show, you know, all you cats who are, you know, in your 40s or you know, drifting towards middle age.
Yeah.
When you're not feeling it, but you know, you're living in this thing from 20 years ago. You know, he's talking about that. He said, you know, and. I'm not putting it across very well, but I was kind of saying, but if you don't feel something, you don't feel something.
Yeah,
I love hip hop, but I'm not going to go and buy these records.
Yeah.
Because if I'm,
so what's he saying? He's saying you're saying you're hip hop, but you're not keeping up with
exactly.
it.
Exactly. He says, you
listen to a hip hop from
exactly.
that's gone basically.
Exactly. Exactly. And I was kind of like that saying, but you know, you like what you like.
Yeah.
So for me, if something isn't soulful, then I'm not going to feel it.
Yeah.
And so that's all it was.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because I sort of see where he's coming from. Because I've got friends that keep up with all of that stuff, and they're much more on it, you know, in terms of the current stuff than I am. But actually, even the new stuff that I like people like J. Cole and
J. Cole's amazing.
Yeah, but that is, they feel like to me they've come from like an old school mentality almost. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think they're carrying the torch.
Yeah.
You know,
and you sort of think like hip hop is so big. You could have two people that are both into hip hop but don't like any of the same artists because it's such a diverse kind of music form. I know that's true of a lot of genres, but. I just think like there are certain artists that you just think I reckon they listen to the same stuff as me, and that's why they're making the stuff that they are. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And Cole's amazing.
Yeah.
What a lyricist. But the untitled thing, you know, there's not many joints on that really have me going. You know, it's a good record, but it's not like, you know, I'm gonna go and put the fucking. The grind date on or something, do you know what I mean? Right, you know, but that's just, you know.
I've got to say, on the grind date, right?
Mm.
I mean, I love De La Soul so much, right?
Yeah, same.
And when the grind date, because they did two parts of a trilogy, right? And then the third one never came out, right? So it was Artificial Intelligence and Mosaic.
Mosaic Plunk,
yeah. And then the third, there was supposed to be another one, I don't think it came out. And then when grind date came out, It's that tune with MF Doom. I can't.
Oh, it's killer, isn't it?
Rock Cocaine Flow.
Yeah.
I mean, that tune, man. Yeah. I could listen to it. What they do with the beat on that tune when it slows down and then they slow down the flow. It's just, oh my god, it
crazy,
blew
yeah.
my mind.
Yeah.
I said it. What you need to do is get back to reading credits, read the medics alphabetically. Stuck on that English shit now. Before we pour that sure shot, pour rock, okay,
from the. That whole album is just wicked, and then you just think De La Soul. Even the new one's amazing. Like, do you know what I mean? Like they're just so consistently brilliant. Do you know what I mean? It's incredible.
That's exactly it. They're the only outfit who, you know, 3 decades young and consistently. I mean, in the latest album, there's a couple of real brilliant joints. Yeah. Like that Pain joint with Snoop. Oh my God! I mean, I think that's maybe Snoop's, you know, best verse this millennium.
Yeah.
I love that. But I, to be honest, though, you know, the fact that they had 160 hours worth of music,
I know,
that they recorded for it, and I was a little bit disappointed when you put it up against.
I know.
You put it up against the immediacy of the other records, you put it on, you know, the other joint. I mean, that's. I just thought, oh yeah. And I guess the fact they had Justin Hawkins on it, I was a bit like that. I was properly scratching my head about that. I'm sorry? Pardon?
That is a night out that went wrong, isn't it? And then some promises were made. we have to get you on that joint, man.
That was unusual, like. But consistently dope. I mean, that's the truthful thing about those cats. I mean, amazing.
And the new track, have you heard the new, listen to the
last track? Yeah.
Like it, fan?
Oh, I love it, yeah.
So good.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Really
it's
good.
I was there, I was fiending a little bit, like, in fact, when it came out that morning.
Yeah.
And I went for a drive and banged it in my car. This simple voodoo is so maniacal, reliable, the pull of juju. The irony is that this bad bitch in my lap, she don't tell me she make money, she don't study that. She gon' give it to me, ain't gon' tell me none of that. She gon' take the brain away the place she sit on that.
When it came out, I was like on tour. And then I had like a little, you know, the little portable Bluetooth speaker. Mm. And like, I was on tour and I was at the gig, and my support act, Phil Gerrard, he was saying he's not into hip hop at all. He's into it a bit. He says he's into it because I have it on. Or I think he just feels like he has to say he's into it a bit because otherwise it's going to be awkward. And then I just had the Tribe album on in the dressing room before the gig. And it was like two people, one who was losing his mind and the other one was just like losing his mind, but for very different reasons. Why the fuck have we got to listen to this before the show? Do you know what I mean? But yeah, it was so good, man.
It was good. It was, you know, worth, I mean, I think for fans, you know, it was like, Jesus Christ, when the news dropped, like in October, like, you know, because we the fallout from Malik Taylor's passing.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're just like, Jesus Christ. You know, I was properly upset.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, when you've grown up with their music,
Five felt like the access point for Tribe for me, because it sort of felt like Q-Tip was so sort of cerebral and kind of, and Five was a guy that was hanging out with them,
street guy,
but also into sports.
Yeah,
do you
exactly,
know what I mean?
Totally. That was it.
Mike, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, man. You've been quality. Is there anything that? Well, two things. First of all, how do we check out what you've done? And like, is it on your website? Is it?
It's all on the website.
Yeah. So it's CubanBrothers.com.
CubanBrothers.com.
Yeah.
I've got a T-shirt for you as well from this new. The last joint we just did was with Baby Bam.
Cooking. Oh, wicked! Yeah,
cooking. So I brought you the cooking T-shirt.
Oh, we had Bam on the podcast.
Did you?
Yeah.
He's amazing. A wicked guy.
Yeah.
He's living in Margate.
That's right, yeah. I was sort of asking about it. He's like, yeah, it's cool.
No, he's brilliant. Yeah.
What are you up to next?
We're away back. I'm back out in Asia. We'll go to India next week
to
do a wee show for the Mumbai Derby, and then down to Goa to do a couple of shows. And then we start touring again in March.
And you're touring the UK in March?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably initially just... maybe 10 or a dozen shows.
Okay, cool. All right, we'll check it out. Listen, Mike, thank you so much,
man. Blessings, thank you so much.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Cheers.
Cheers now.